We would like to look this morning in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. But I would like to approach it this morning in a little different way. This is a familiar passage where Jesus was teaching some valuable lessons to those that were listening. And he spoke about those that were lost. Those that, in this case, the son that went away. And so I want to begin reading with verse 11. And these are the words of Jesus as he's teaching those that are with him. And in verse 11 it reads like this. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We do pray for the needs, those that's on our prayer list, those that were mentioned, the needs of each heart. Lord, you know our hearts and you know the needs. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning, that you'll speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, if there's someone that's wandered afar off, Lord, I pray that they'll consider what's at the Father's house. And Father, I pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart and cause them to realize the only hope that they have is Jesus. But Lord, we pray that you'll help us this morning. We want to honor you with everything that we say and do. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The message this morning is titled, At the Father's House. At the Father's House. Now, I couldn't imagine how many messages and how many lessons and how many stories have been told about this familiar passage. And how that many messages and many sermons and lessons have been focused on the son that drifted away. And it's about the life of the prodigal son. Maybe as we consider the prodigal son, as we think about him going afar off, there may be some that are more like the elder son that is really actually in so many ways away themselves, but yet they're there. Now we didn't read about the elder son. That's found in the verses following, beginning in verse 25. But yet, we have a story here, a passage here, dealing with a family, dealing with two sons. And it's easy for us to see the son that went away. It's easy for us to think about the prodigal and the rebellion, but yet there was still rebellion in the one that stayed. There was still rebellion. The prodigal said, "You owe me." The prodigal wanted to live it up, if you will, much like society today. Society has the idea, "You owe me." For those that are no longer in the workplace or have to be in the workplace, then you should be grateful. Because the generation that is following has that mentality of, "You owe me." They have that mentality that they don't want to work, they just won't. Well, that's kind of where the son was, the prodigal son. But yet the older that we didn't read about, but you can read in your own time, the older kind of had that same perspective, but just approached it differently. He was upset because the father welcomed the prodigal back. He was upset and to the point of saying, "Well, I don't have these things that the father gave." So both sons were, in a lot of ways, both sons were troubled in their own hearts about what was taking place. But what about the father's perspective? What about the father? What can we see this morning that the father can teach us and teach every one of us, whether being a father or not? You see, the son was living it up, and we're talking about the prodigal. The son was living it up, desiring to do things his way. He almost had the attitude of, "I'm going to do it my way, and this is just what I'm going to do." I remember a time in my life before my father's passing, he and I had similar conversations. I was away from church. I was saved, but yet I was away from church, and I had went down a path that I wasn't pleased with and still not. And he was talking to me about, you know, getting things right with the Lord, and I made this statement. He said, and I said, "I've got everything in the palm of my hand," ultimately was what I was saying to him. Because what could happen? What could happen? And then just a few days after that conversation that he and I had, my father passed away. And my world changed. The things that I thought was in the palm of my hand was no longer there. This son was desiring to leave everything. But yet there was something greater that was back at home. There was something greater that was back at home. And it's called a father. It's called a father. This morning I'd like us to look at the perspective of the father as considering what he was going through and what he was dealing with. And I'd like to first consider this, and we won't read these verses again, but it's found in verses 11 through 19. And I would like us to consider the father's pain. The father's pain. You know, a lot of times the father of the home is the one that's supposed to be strong, the provider, and all those things that society and that it should be, but yet the father still has pain. The father still hurts for their children. The father still is concerned. Maybe they don't show it as much, but yet there's still pain. So the father had to endure some pain. Endure some pain. The first thing he had to endure was the painful demand. The painful demand. When the son asked the father for his portion, back then, during that time period, that was almost like saying, I don't want you in my life anymore. That was like the son saying, I almost wish you were dead. That was what was taking place during that time period when it comes to relation. Matter of fact, and I will say this, matter of fact, during that time period when the son returned, there was a lot of fear for the father, and we'll talk about this in just a moment, but there was a lot of fear in the father because the son did totally wrong and people wouldn't understand. So we should be grateful that the father received the son. But you see, there was a hurtful demand. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, verse 12 says. I don't want you in my life. I don't want no part of you in my life. It was also like the father was saying, or the son was saying to the father, you owe me. You owe me. As I mentioned before, that's kind of how society is. You owe me. When in reality, I was raised, you work to get paid. I was raised, you're not owed anything. Now, I'm thankful that my mother and father provided, but yet there was things that we did, and we worked, and we did chores, and we did all those things. But this son was like, you owe me. Now, I wonder in our minds what was happening between him saying, give me the goods that follow to me, and it says, and he divided unto them his living. He divided it. So I wonder what was going through the father's mind as he was hearing the son say, you owe me. It was almost as the son was saying, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want. You see, the son was willing to leave everything in search of the unknown. That's ultimately what he was doing. He was searching for the unknown. You know, it didn't like, back then it wasn't, during that time period, it wasn't like it is today. You can, take a picture of a place, you can take a picture of a deserted community and make it look good. That's what the media and that's what social media does and all those things. They can take something that's very bad and make it look good. And they can make it sound very appealing, like it's the greatest. But yet, he ultimately was searching for the unknown. He ultimately was searching for the possibility. But in my heart, as Jesus was teaching, I believe the Father knew what was going to happen. So many times you try to tell a child something, or you try to help a child, and you tell them to be careful, or you tell them to not to do something, or something like that, and then they keep on. And it isn't until they get burned that they learn their lesson. My mother used to tell me, that stove is hot. That stove is hot. And it wasn't until I touched it that I realized that she knew what she was talking about. There was things that my dad would teach me. And he would say, don't do this, or you better do it this way. And sometimes we get stubborn. Sometimes we want to do things our own way. Sometimes we think the adults in our life maybe don't know as much. But yet in reality, the Father, I believe, knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. This must have been a moment of a father's broken heart. Father may not show it. A father may be the one that's supposed to look strong, but yet in his heart, it must have been breaking. Because now he has a son that's going to be away. But I thought it was also interesting to consider that the father did give him his portion. I believe he gave that portion, as this story is being told, I believe that he gave that portion out of love. Out of love. When I think of that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that's a whosoever. But let me add to this. The Lord's not going to make you. He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to encourage. There may be things come in your life that opens your eyes as it did mine, but yet He's not going to make you. The Father knew what was going to happen. This time that He had invested in His Son, and raising a child is an investment. It's an investment. So this time and this investment and this love was being thrown aside by the Son. It was being thrown aside for an unknown dream. So we call that the Father's pain. And then there's another pain that the Father's enduring as this Son exits His life. There's another pain, and that is the what one would call, and I don't know if you hear this terminology as much as you may be used to, but it was a headlong departure. In other words, he was being stubborn. Children don't get stubborn, do they? But he was being stubborn. The father's heart must have been broken as the son walked away. As the son walked away. You see, the father knew the best place for the son was by his side. The father knew that the best place for the son to learn and to grow and to mature was by his side. But yet the son thought something different. And I'm sure the father had big plans for the son. Had big plans for the son. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You see, the Lord wants what's best for us. He wants what's best for us. The reason that I know for a fact that He wants best for us is because He gave His best for us. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His best for us. So therefore, I know He wants what's best for us in our lives. But yet, He gives us the opportunity to make choices. He gives us the opportunity. And sometimes we make good choices. And sometimes we make poor choices. But yet it's the influences that cause those choices in many cases. And the influence of the unknown, the influence of things are going to be great, the influence of the grass is always greener on the other side, the influence of all those things that pulled him away. But you think of what the world offers. The world offers many things to pull us away from the love of the Lord. There's so many things. Careers pulls people away. Wealth pulls people away. And the list could go on and on and on that could pull someone away from the Lord. And yet they go away and they don't even notice. And then all of a sudden, they think to themselves, what just happened? What just happened? The son was just walking away from someone who loved him. The son was walking away from someone who cared for him. The son was walking away from someone who wanted what's best for him. And he knew, the father knew, the son was headed for disaster and destruction. He knew. But he could only watch as the son went away. He could only watch because it was the son's decision. It was the son's decision. And then another hurt was the pain of a heart's devotion. Do you realize that the father never stopped loving the son? The father never stopped loving the son. He never stopped desiring the son to come back into his life. He never stopped. The son was out living it up. The son was out spending all that he had in that righteous living, the Bible calls it. And the father was home desiring that fellowship. The father was home desiring to be with his son. You know, I think of another passage of scripture that's familiar to all of us, and that's found in the book of Genesis chapter 3. When the Lord told Adam and Eve not to take of that forbidden fruit, not to eat of that fruit. And they did as Satan's temptation, the serpent's temptation allowed them, and they took. In verse 8 of Genesis chapter 3 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, the cool of the day. This was after they had taken of the fruit. And the Bible says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. You see, the Lord was walking and the Lord was desiring that fellowship, but yet they hid themselves, and that's what sin will do. Sin will cause us to hide ourselves from the presence of the Lord. And he even asked the question in verse 9, where art thou? Well, the Lord knew that question wasn't for the Lord. That question was for Adam and Eve. The Lord knows where we are right now. The Lord knows our hearts right now. The Lord knows where we, what our attitudes are and where our hearts are and all those things. There's nothing the Lord doesn't know about us. Just like Adam and Eve. And he asks the question, where art thou? As the son literally threw away everything, the father was waiting. The father was waiting. But now we look at another aspect of the father. We thought about his pain just for a little while. Now let's think about his patience. His patience. The Bible says in verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when his father was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Think about your own life for just a moment. Aren't you grateful this morning for God's patience? Things that we've done, directions that we've gone that we shouldn't have gone, things, decisions that we've made, and we realize it, And then we just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know, out of all the things, we're thankful for His grace. We're thankful for His mercy. We're thankful for the redemption that we have. We're thankful for all those things. But you know, one that holds dear to me is His patience. You look at the condition of the world, and anybody that says that we don't have a patient God is not opening up their eyes. We see all the fighting that's taking place. We see the riots. We see the storms. We see so many things that's taking place. And some people will say, why? Why is God allowing this? And I say, I thank God for His patience. Thank God for His patience. You see, the Father had patience. Patience is shown in the fact that He saw His Son. When I look at that verse in verse 20 that I read to you just a few moments ago, the Father was looking for the Son. The Bible says that the Father saw Him before He ever got there. That tells me that the Son was missed. The Father missed Him. The Father didn't just push Him off to the side not to think of Him no more, no matter how His Son treated the Father. No matter how abrupt it was that the Son left, and no matter how He must have treated, no matter how He said in reality, I want you out of my life, but the Father never gave up. Never gave up looking. The Son was missed because the Father was looking. The Father was loving, and it's shown by the Father looking. The Father continued to love. The Father continued to love even though the Son was missing. The Father didn't know where the Son was. The Father didn't know how far He had gotten away. All He knew was He was gone. He was gone. The Father was caring because the Father continued to look. The Father continued to look. What was He looking for? He was looking for fellowship. He was looking for that fellowship of His Son. And I think about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for us and how He gave Himself. As the Bible tells us that He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly if we believe. If we believe. That tells me that He desires fellowship. He desires fellowship in us being a part. And us being one of His children. Do you realize that God knows exactly where you are today? He knows exactly where you are today. Now, in this case, the Father didn't know, in this case, because it was an earthly Father that's being demonstrated here, but the Father was looking. That means He was interested. He was interested. He was caring. He was loving. He was missed. He wanted that fellowship. But do you realize as the Father was looking, He was also protecting. He was protecting. Because the way the Son left during those times and during that time period, the way the Son left in the average household, He would be never wanted back. He would be never wanted back. And when the Son was seen, there's a possibility that people would attack Him. And there's a possibility that He could be stoned because He was returning. But the Father was looking to give Him protection because notice what that verse says in verse 20. The Bible says, and while He was yet a great way off, the Father saw Him and had compassion and ran to greet the Son to protect Him. Isn't that like a father? Think of how the Lord protects us when we go wayward. Think about how the Lord allows things to come in our life because He wants us to draw close to Him. I can tell you firsthand that the Lord allowed things to come in my life because He's wanting what's best. He's wanting what's best. Heard a testimony one night that I was at a revival meeting, and I heard a testimony one night about a man that was constantly praying for his children, praying that they would be saved, praying that they would get into church, and he had 8 children. And someone heard him praying at the altar and said, "Lord, do whatever you have to do because I love my children and I want them to be saved. Do whatever you have to do. That's how much I love them. Whatever you have to do." And just a few days later, he died in a car wreck. But as the story goes, all 8 children come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You see, the Lord desires fellowship. And He desires fellowship in a great way. And that father was desiring fellowship. So he ran and he was protecting that son. He was protecting. It's easy to get headstrong in life. It's easy to think that things should be a certain way. It's easy to think just like as that wayward son was. But the father knew the most important thing in life was spending time with his son. He was looking. He was looking. And then once he saw him, and once he ran to him, then the father gave a great provision. A great provision found in verses 20 through 24. A provision of a welcome. He gave him a welcome. He gave him a welcome. The Bible says that he saw him, had compassion on him, ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. He ran, he kissed, and he forgave. And then what the Lord does for us, He's looking. He's looking. He's welcoming. And He forgives. And then there was that passion in that fellowship. When that son came home, his world changed. Everything that the son had left, everything that he wanted, that he left, all the provisions that the father had made, the son came back. And the father gave a great welcome. Yes, the son confessed, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy." He knew. The son knew. See, that's the thing about it is the son knew what he had done wrong. And that's important. The son knew. He left with his wealth. He left with what the father provided and he wasted it. And I got to thinking about that. And there's something that hit home with me as I was studying this, when I was thinking about the father gave the son and he wasted it. And there's something that I have a desire of, and it's I don't want to waste his grace. I don't want to waste his mercy. I don't want to waste his love. I don't want to waste what he has given for me and the fact that he changed my life. And I trust that you're the same way. That you don't want to waste that provision that he has given. The son wasted it. But yet he had a welcome back. And he was covered with a robe. And I was thinking about what in the world was he covering with the robe? And that was he was covered, that hog pen of life was what he was covering. That ring was a seal from the Father saying, I love you. Those shoes that the Father gave was saying, this is my son. That provision, because back in that day, most people were without shoes. And the Father gave His Son the shoes. And then lastly this morning, the provision of rejoicing. Verse 23 says, And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let us eat and be merry. There were many that have walked away from the Father's house even today. And there's many that would say, I'm not as close to the Lord as I used to be. Drifting away. Maybe you could say that life has gotten in the way. Life got in the way of this young man. But I'm grateful that the Father kept looking. I'm grateful that the Father ran. I'm grateful that the Father kissed. I'm grateful that the Father fell on his neck. And I'm grateful that he had a great welcome in a return. Do you know the Lord will do the same for each one of us? Amen. He will do the same for each one of us. Because life does get in the way, and sometimes it just gets in the way and we don't even know it. But I'm going to ask the question to myself as I ask it publicly. The Lord asked a great question in Genesis. Where art thou? Where art thou? The Father's looking. The Father's looking. If the Lord's spoken to your heart this morning in any way, I invite you to come. And He'll give you a wonderful welcome no matter what the need is. He'll welcome you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, we got a little snapshot of a Father's great love for a son. Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts during this invitation. And may we all ask that question. Where art thou? Where art thou? Father, if you've spoken to hearts, I pray that you'll nudge them to come to talk to you. That we come to ourselves. And may we rejoice of the welcome that you'll give. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.